Hello and welcome to episode 103. You might remember that the last episode was about Pyro Studios' game Commandos 2 from 2001, their extremely successful and ambitious real-time stealth tactics game in the Commando series. Now, after Commandos 3 was released in 2003, a game which I have not yet covered, Pyro released just one more game in the series, which is 2006's Commandos Strike Force, and that's the topic of this particular episode. Now, Strike Force, sadly, was a disaster. It was a huge failure. Its ideas did not come to pass. It was a critical and commercial disaster for Pyro, and really it essentially destroyed them as a company, and also caused the end of the Commando series, which had been very historic and very successful. At the moment, a new Commandos game is in development, which is called Commandos Origins. It's being made by a new studio called Claymore, and that game will be published by Calypso Media, who now own the Commandos license. And in theory, that game will be released at some point this year in 2024. Time will tell if that actually happens. In the meantime, it seems like a good a time as any to go back and have a look at Commandos Strike Force to try and understand what were Pyro trying to achieve with this game and where did it go so badly wrong. And if there's anything that still makes it worth playing, what would those things be? So that's really the aim of this particular episode on Commandos Strike Force. Where did it all go wrong? What were Pyro thinking? And is there a reason to play this game? Especially if you're not a die-hard Commandos completist. So I hope you enjoy this episode. There'll be lots more to come in 2024, and potentially some coverage of Commandos Origins if it actually makes it out in the next 12 months. In 2006, the Spanish game developer Pyro Studios was full of confidence. With a new game nearly complete, they had big ambitions. The CEO, Ignacio Perez, planned to grow the company from 70 staff to 250 over the next few years. Pyro would become not just a preeminent developer in Europe, but in the world. In retrospect, these comments have a tragic feel. The game that Pyro was about to complete was Commandos Strike Force, and it would prove to be a stinging failure. Perez's big plans would never come to pass. Worse, his company would never again release a notable game. It would first be reduced to the relative ignominy of mobile game development, and then would finally close for good in 2017. On paper, Strike Force appeared to be based on good ideas and a sound business logic. It was intended as a means for Pyro Studios to capitalize on its established Commando series, to move into cross-platform development, and to break into the lucrative console market. To do all this, they would shift Commandos into a first-person shooter mold. In the end, the game badly alienated the company's existing fans and failed to win new ones. Its critical and commercial failure contributed strongly to the demise of Pyro, long the foremost studio in Spain, and the Commando series. Now that a new revival of the series is in development, it's interesting to go back to the disastrous fourth entry. Picking over the wreckage, it's clear that Pyro's plans were not without merit. Strike Force is a desperately average game, released much too late to have a chance in a crowded World War II shooter market. But it does have good ideas, and a certain charm of its own. The best laid plans. Based in Madrid, Pyro Studios had been built on the success of the Commando series. The first game had unexpectedly sold 900,000 copies and ensured the enthusiastic future support of Pyro's British publisher Eidos. Commandos 2 from 2001 remains in some ways the most ambitious entry in the real-time stealth tactics genre that the Spaniards pioneered. But by the mid-2000s, Pyro were already finding themselves at a crossroads. Firstly, their recent games had underperformed. Commandos 3, Destination Berlin, and Praetorians, both from 2003, had been developed in parallel, but neither met sales expectations. The same can be said for 2005's Imperial Glory. Secondly, the industry context was changing. The big picture was that PC-centric development was losing ground to cross-platform projects that stood a chance of big sales on consoles. In the cold light of day, it was clear that Pyro's usual style of game was poorly suited to this model. More specifically, there was a major boom in fully 3D first-person shooters with World War II settings. Return to Castle Wolfenstein from 2001, Medal of Honor Allied Assault from 2002, and Call of Duty from 2003 had all been big business in recent years. Pyro made a bold and fateful decision. They would develop a reboot of the Commando series, which represented a European competitor to these American-made hits. Strike Force would be a first-person shooter, but one which incorporated the stealth and tactical elements of Pyro's previous successes. If it worked, this plan could have given new life to the Commando's brand and helped Pyro to break into the increasingly lucrative market for console shooters. It must have seemed like a smart idea at the time. But Strike Force would prove to be a disaster, which failed to please any potential audience. In time, its failure contributed significantly to the demise of Pyro Studios. That's not to say, though, that the game was not distinctive, or that it lacked redeeming features. In its own way, it remains an intriguing oddity. A new perspective. When it's discussed at all, Strike Force is often described as a standard World War II shooter, but this does it a bit of a disservice. To be fair to Pyro Studios, their game does do some things differently. The most notable departure from convention, and one which links it with the earlier Commandos games, is the multiple playable characters. There are three playable Commandos. In most missions, two or all three of them are playable, and typically the player can switch between them at will. For this departure into the first-person perspective, Pyro reworked three of the six Commandos from the first game, behind enemy lines. The Green Beret, the Spy, and the Sniper. Because Strike Force is a reboot, the team preserved the broad archetypes of the original characters, but gave them new identities. The Green Beret, for example, is no longer an Irishman, but instead an American. Like Commandos 2, Strike Force is divided into three campaigns, set in France, Norway, and the Soviet Union. In each mission, one, two, or all three of the commandos work to complete a short set of objectives, possibly with the support of Allied troops. The playable characters each have their own style of play. The Spy is closest to his equivalent in the previous games. He's the stealthiest character, and his approach is mainly focused on using disguises. Climbing the hierarchy of disguises is key to unlocking enemy security, from soldier to sub-officer to officer to Gestapo agent. He also has a silenced pistol and can use gas grenades. The Sniper is far more capable than the earlier, more aristocratic version. Besides his sniper rifle, he comes equipped with throwing knives and a pistol. For some reason, he's the only commando who can survive swimming in very cold water, although this rarely comes into play. The Green Beret can use his knife to stealthily eliminate enemies, but rarely gets the chance to do so. In Strike Force, he's reconfigured to be the all-action character. He can wield a variety of rifles, automatic weapons, and heavy munitions, and is formidable in open combat. This division of labour, and the various gameplay styles it represents, genuinely do make Strike Force feel distinctive, even now. When it works, it does deliver some exciting moments. A late mission sees the Green Beret hunt down and destroy an armoured unit in the ruins of Stalingrad. Another operation has the Spy and the Sniper work together to help an Allied convoy navigate a Norwegian fjord. But too often, Strike Force does not work, and it failed for good and fairly clear reasons. Mission failed. Importantly, Strike Force felt quite dated right from its original release in 2006. Built on the off-the-shelf RenderWare engine, its graphics were largely unimpressive. In a number of respects, it looked worse than the World War II shooters that influenced it, even though these were years old at the time. Half-Life 2 had been out for nearly a year and a half. Inexperienced with fully 3D first-person games, Pyro could not compete in this area. The previous Commandos games are known for their beautiful and sprawling 2D environments. Only very occasionally does Strike Force even hint at the same grandeur. Its 3D environments feel small and inert. Return to Castle Wolfenstein was more impressive nearly 5 years earlier. The missions are often brief and feel rushed and truncated. At times, only one character is available, which undermines the game's main supposed selling point. In general, the game is simply too short, with a campaign that takes only a few hours to tackle. Worse, Strike Force is much too easy. Pyro's earlier games were known for their stern difficulty, and it seems as if the studio wanted to soften this in order to secure a wider audience. The result is missions which often lose all sense of challenge and tension. The spy's use of disguises, for example, tends to make stealth missions almost comically trivial. What should be an exciting behind-the-lines mission comes across as James Bond facing off against the Keystone Cops. Instead, Strike Force is often at its best when it dispenses with stealth and focuses on combat. One of the strongest missions has the Green Beret and the Sniper working together to defend a bridge against a determined enemy assault. This, of course, is a world away from the original appeal of the Commandos brand. In the end, Commandos Strike Force was a bold but desperately flawed gamble by Pyro Studios. It neither captivated the series' existing audience or captured a new one, and this proved to be its undoing, creatively and commercially. Pyro would never again make another significant game, and its plans for future expansion were dashed. Spain's most notable developer proved to be sadly short-lived, releasing games for less than 10 years. Today, Pyro's best games still stand as a sturdy testament to their talent. For its part, Commandos Strike Force is both an interesting curio and a kind of warning. Time will tell if new owners Calypso Media can resuscitate the Commando series. Thanks for listening to this episode. You can find more of my writing in text and audio form at my site andyjohnson.xyz. You can also find me on Twitter at andyjohnsonuk, and you can support me at patreon.com/andyjohnson. Catch you next time.